You're listening to a special edition of Athens News Matters, Black in Athens. I'm Alexia Ridley. On our program today, we're exploring the Black experience in Athens through the lens of political action, entrepreneurship, activism, and academia. Joining me now to start our discussion are Linda Davis, who represents District 3 on the Clark County Board of Education, and Mariah Parker, who represents District 2 on the Athens-Clark County Commission. And I'd like to ask you two about Black political power in general, both in terms of the power of the Black electorate in Athens-Clark County and its ability to influence elections, but also in terms of the power that Black elected officials have to introduce or influence legislation on the local level. I'm going to start with you first, Commissioner Parker, on this.
Yeah, well, to address your first question, I do think that there's a lot of power to be built among the Black electorate and Black labor power in Athens. I think that we do have a very politically engaged Black middle class, but expanding that awareness and that involvement to folks that have been politically marginalized, that have been economically marginalized, and bringing forth policy that helps empower those folks economically so that they have a stabler baseline, building political power through getting people more involved in our local elections, also getting people to organize within their workspaces as, you know, a way to help draw attention to issues in our community, to make our demands for better working conditions, higher wages, so that folks have the economic empowerment and self-determination to be more involved in our political processes is work that still needs to be done. But I think that as Black elected officials, we stand in an interesting position with one foot in the everyday struggles of ordinary people. And then we do have power to help shape the future direction of our community and translate the cries of the community into policy that uplifts the community. And so that's a little bit of what I think is work to be done yet in our communities, as well as what power we do wield right now.
The power is there. We have the numbers. Now, are we effective in getting the word out in terms of a platform that we can all support? I'm not so sure how we're doing with that. I know that we're continuing to work the same avenues that we've always worked. And so in Athens, in my lived experience, and I've been back here now since 2005, I've seen very active engagement from just a few organizations. The Economic Justice Coalition is very active in voter registration, but they don't really put forth a platform so much. There are causes that they definitely support. The NAACP is very active in voter registration and trying to help create a platform in our community. Neither of those organizations boast huge numbers of Black participation. They're not large organizations per se, and they should be. What I do see is that our churches still play a vital part in helping inform our community about the issues that our community should address. And yet those institutions are also suffering from sometimes a lack of active participation, especially in the Black churches. And so we're seeing a situation where how do you coalesce the entire Black community into wielding power? Right? What does it mean to wield that power? I think it's very different for us as a result of the elections for our school board. For the first time in Athens history, we will have a majority-minority school board membership. And so what does that then translate to? The good news there is that we know the agenda. We know what's important for our community, the Black community especially, and that is simply just the equity issues that we've been working so diligently to pursue in the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, I think that is something that we could pause on right there, because that is tremendous. I mean, at this time, Athens has 3 African-American commissioners, but to have a majority, as you said, minority school board has to be unprecedented.
It is unprecedented. And so, again, the beauty of that particular space and in our political arena is that it is focused on our children, and it is focused on creating a future for our children and for our community. And so I'm excited about that. I think that there's still more work to be done.
And let me ask you, according to 2010 census numbers, Athens-Clark County is about 2/3 white and about 27% Black. Right now, 30% of commissioners and over half the Board of Education is Black. Is the Black community effectively represented on those two boards? And I'll stick with you on this one, Linda.
And so the question is effectively represented. We are absolutely effectively represented on the school board. I cannot dispute that. But there again, this is an interesting situation because in Clark County, that one third of students in our public school system, that's the white community. We are like 40 something percent African American and 23% Latinx. So we have a majority minority school system. I think we still have underrepresentation across minorities because that's a pretty broad category of ethnicities. And that's something we should definitely be working on. So again, it brings to question as we build a future for public education in Athens-Clark County, you know, who are the people that need to be at the table to help us shape this vision for our community and to ensure that the equity lens is applied across the board.
And Mariah, let me ask you that as well. Do you think the Black community is effectively represented on those two boards, the Board of Education and the Board of Commissioners?
I am really pleased with the proportionality of representation that African Americans enjoy. I do think that, you know, Blackness is not monolithic and that we have to look at other sort of vectors of identity as well in terms of representation. And if you look at the demographics for Clark County, our median age is 27 years old. And so when we talk about issues in our educational system or we talk about issues within the local government, I think bridging the divide in the Black community between folks that are more civically engaged or of an older generation and folks that might not have a lot of representation based on the viewpoints they hold and the life experiences they've gained because of their young age, thinking about how we can bring those voices into the political process and make sure that those perspectives are effectively represented as well is still a challenge that we continue to face.
And Mariah, I want to stay with you here for a while. After a commission meeting last week, you tweeted about your colleagues rejecting a motion to include the central plank of the Black Lives Matter movement to a local Black Lives Matter resolution. And you used the phrase, I believe it was performative co-optation. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yes. Yeah. Can you explain what that means?
Sure. And I think this actually speaks to the issue I raised previous about generational divides with regards to the role of youth in social movements and how those demands made by social movements and commonly held among younger demographics, how those filter into our conversations on these boards and in these bodies regarding, you know, what, for in this particular example, what Black Lives Matter means. And so I am very concerned by the way that local governments across the country, and ours is no exception, are taking symbolic actions to embrace the statement that Black Lives Matter without embracing the substance of what that movement has stood for. In my comments at that meeting, I talked about the fact that we import ideas from real estate developers, and we import ideas from consulting firms that are predominantly white-led and importing with them white supremacist ideals into our community. And so the need for us to embrace what the younger generations are standing for today in the legacy of things like the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee and other youth-led movements that have brought substantive and transformative reforms across our country historically, and honoring that legacy in this moment by listening to the youth, listening to activists across the country and Black leaders across the country as they brainstorm solutions to some of the issues we're facing in our community. And in doing so, embrace the substance of these movements and not merely them in name only.
And I, before I go, I just wanted to know, did you have something that you wanted to add to that, Linda? I heard you react to my question to Mariah.
Well, I'm so excited to have that youthful view from Mariah on all things. I absolutely admire the work that she puts into dissecting the things that come before her as a commissioner and enlightening us on exactly what that means. And so I think we're missing an opportunity if we don't have more people tuning in to our commission meetings, and I get to listen to them after the fact usually, but still, it is such a wealth of information that is garnered there, and I think it helps aspirationally for people who have an interest in politics and interest in the quality of life here to pay attention, because she's right. If you bring the ideas in from the same places you've always brought them in from, people bring their lived experiences. And if those experiences didn't even see you as being relevant to the conversation, then obviously nothing changes. And so that's the thing we have to really be on the lookout for and be willing to challenge ourselves on.
Well, I think those both were some two well-stated phrases there, ladies. I just want to thank you both for joining me today, and I really appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
That is all the time we have for this segment this week. I do want to thank my guests, Commissioner Mariah Parker and Clark County School Board Member Linda Davis. This is Athens News Matters from WUGA News.